Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Inspire Health Podcast. And we are really excited to bring back a guest that we had back. Gosh, Udo, this was back in November 8th, 2023. We had Udo Erasmus on the show with us, and this was episode 220 and was called How to Find Your Way Back Home with Udo Erasmus. And that was a part of our that was the Creating New Earth series. So if people are new to us, what you'll notice is that we often do series. We pick a topic that Tay and I have been really excited about. We bring lots of experts and visionaries from all over the place to really round a conversation out. And so Uda was a part of that series. Really beautiful, beautiful conversation. That's episode 220. You can check that out. We'll put that in the show notes. But as we were talking to Udo about that, which was really more around at that point, it was his 8-step process to help really bring more inner peace and well-being to people's lives based on his vast array of personal experience in this world. And beautiful conversation. But then after we're like, gosh, we've got this guy here who's like one of the leading authorities in fats, who's been lecturing to practitioners and people for 40 years around all of this craziness around fats and trying to make sense of it. And we're like, we haven't even had a conversation yet around fats. So we thought we'd bring Udo back today to really talk about this diverse conversation around fats. And he's really one of the world experts on this. He wrote the classic book, Fats That Heal, Fats That Kill, and Your Body Needs an Oil Change. And I remember your book sitting there in the naturopathic library way back when I went to school back in gosh, I was there in 1999, but then I taught for a period of time, and your book was one of the ones that was right there in the library. So we're really excited to have you on the show today and to talk about fats. So, Udo, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. It's going to be fun.
It's always a pleasure. So, I thought we'd maybe kick something off right from the start here with a bang. And because you've got such a vast array of being in this field for over 40 years talking about fats, I'm wondering if you can break down from your experience, from your decades of studying fats. If you were to narrow it down and titrate it down, what do you think, or what do you believe would be one of the single biggest misunderstandings that people have around dietary fats?
There's a lot of misunderstanding because it's a complicated area. Do you have fats that heal and you have fats that kill, and then finding your way through that is harder. You don't like when you talk about minerals and vitamins and amino acids, you don't have that dichotomy. So that makes them by nature more complicated and more confusing and easier to misrepresent than any other part of nutrition. And that's why I took it on, because I got confused when I was trying to figure out how to get healthy from pesticide poisoning. And I was looking at everything. And then it was like, I read a study. It said omega-6 is an essential fatty acid or an essential nutrient, which means you can't make it, but you have to have it to live and be healthy. If you don't get enough long enough, you have to bring it in from outside. If you don't get enough long enough, you die. This is how important these things are, right? But if your health is deteriorating because you're not getting enough, but before you die, because death by nature, by definition, is not reversible, right? Before you die, you bring enough of it back in, then all the problems that come from not getting enough are reversed, because life knows how to make a body that works, provided we take responsibility at our mouth to make sure the building blocks that are essential for body construction land in the body. And then life knows how to do the rest of it, right? So I read that study. I said, okay, omega-6 is an essential fatty acid. And then we also know there's an omega-3 that's also an essential fatty acid by the same definition. And the very next study I read said omega-6 gives you cancer and kills you. And my head exploded. It was like, what? I have to have it so it can kill me? Where's the justice in that? Right?
That's a love-hate relationship for sure.
Yeah, it was like, and it drove me crazy. I guess I have some fairly polished OCD genes. But it does, it's like, no, this doesn't make any sense. So I said, I must be missing something. I could have said, well, they cheated, or he's lying, or they're lying, or they're all lying except me. I could have said that, right? But I said, no, I think these guys are trying to do the best they can, and this is the results they got. So I must be missing something. So what else is going on behind this contradiction? And that made me look at how oils are made. And the way they're made is they're made for shelf life. But oils, omega-3 and omega-6, are the most sensitive of all of our essential nutrients. They're damaged by light, by oxygen, and by heat. We should be giving them the most care. We actually give them the least care. You know, we throw oils in a frying pan, and then we burn foods with them. So that can't be good for health, right? Right? And we're damaging the oils by the simultaneous damaging effects of light, oxygen, and heat all at the same time. So, okay. And then I started seeing the industry when they started making oils, like the bulk industry, which started like after 1850. They started making oils with health in mind. Well, they started making oils. They separate them from the seeds and nuts they come in. And they wanted, you know, the industry likes money. So how do you get a lot of money? Well, you have to have a big market. So how do you get the big market? You got to have a shelf life, right? Because it's only, if it only lasts for a week, you can't make it in Vancouver and sell it in Tokyo, right? Because the boats run too slow, right? So I said, okay, well, so in order to get the shelf life on these oils that by nature have a short shelf life, they had to treat them with sodium hydroxide to take out some ingredients, very corrosive base. Then was phosphoric acid, very corrosive acid to take out more stuff. Then bleach them with bleaching clays because the color molecules in oils absorb light and the light then damages the oil. So they took those out. When they've done that, the oil stinks. So they have to deodorize it. And to deodorize it, they have to heat the oil to frying temperature for about 30 minutes to get rid of the bad odor. So that's called deodorization. And then you have a colorless, odorless, tasteless oil. You can't tell it where it came from. Could have come out of garbage. And could have come out of dead fish, dead rotten fish heads. Could have come out of anything. You don't know what it came from because there is nothing left in it that is characteristic of the source. No flavor, no taste, no color, no consistency.
That sounds like our world right now. That sounds like humans right now.
I would actually like that kind of consistency if it was based on human biology, not human crazy ideas like cultures and religions. And we have so many crazy narratives and ideologies, and they're just made, people just made them up. That's why it doesn't work. Well, if you look at the biology, 8 billion human beings have the same biology. Even men and women are 0.3% different. All the gender stuff, 0.3%. So if the 0.3% difference get all the attention, then men are from Mars and women are from Venus. But if the 99.7% it's the same, gets 99.7% of the attention, then relationships can actually work. But we ignore it and we only focus on the difference. But anyway, what's that got to do with oils, right?
Sorry, was my fault. I sent you on.
No, it's good. It's all good. Okay, so when they do this processing of the oils to give them a long shelf life so they can make them in Vancouver and sell them in Tokyo, about 0.5 to 1% of the oil molecules are damaged, which means they're turned from something natural that life understands because life developed in nature. They turn it from something that is natural to something that never existed in nature, and life didn't make a way to work with it because it never needed to, because it was never in the environment. That's why some molecules are toxic, because they were never in nature and the body doesn't know how to break them down or get rid of them or throw them out or change them into something else.
Right? Udo, what percentage of the oils did you say, once they've gone through that process, what percent?
A half to 1%.
A half to
1%.
1%. That's it. Only a half to 1% is.
Yeah. You just set me up. So I said, okay, I got poisoned by pesticides. I want to get healthy. I don't like the idea that they're doing something to the oil that damages it. And they know it because I got that information out of their journals, American Oil Chemists Society. So I decided, this was in 1981 or 82. In those days, you could call people and talk to them. These days you can't do that, but then you could. So I called the Oil Chemist Society in Champaign, Illinois, and said to the receptionist, I'd like to talk to a researcher. And she said, okay. She put him on the line, and I said, so when you know that the way you process oils does damage to them, why do you do that? Right? Because it's like OCD, right? 100% purity here, right? So he said, well, one of the reasons that why we deodorize the oil and heat it to frying temperature for half an hour is we can get rid of half of the pesticides in the oil by doing that. And in my head, I'm going crazy because I've been poisoned by pesticides. This is not good news. And when I studied lipids, fats and oils in university, at master's level, they never talked about that. They never talked about pesticides and oils. At that point, I didn't even know there were pesticides and oils. But I didn't say that to him because that was my issue. So I said to him, why don't you start with organically grown seeds? Then you don't have that issue to deal with. And he had never heard that question. So there was this long silence at the other end of the phone. And you know I can talk, you know, but I could listen too. So I waited, and it seemed like a really long time. Might have been 3 seconds, might have been 3 minutes. I don't know how long it was, but it was a long time. And when he got back, he was really angry. He says, I don't know what your problem is. The oil is 99% good. It's only 1% damaged. And if you got 99% on an exam, you'd be damn happy, wouldn't you? I think he blew a gasket after he finished that. And so now I said, okay, well, I'm just a little war baby kid, you know. So it's like, I'm pretty shy, you know. So, well, maybe I'm overreacting. It's only 1%. Maybe he's right. Maybe I'm just squawking, right? So I decided to do the math. That was what we used to say. And, you know, when in doubt, do the math. And I decided to figure out if I have a tablespoon of an oil that is 1% damaged by the processing, how many damaged molecules would I be putting into my body by taking that tablespoon of oil? It's a good arithmetic question. So I want you to guess how many damaged molecules are in a tablespoon of oil that is 1% damaged by the processing.
Oh gosh, billions.
How many?
20 billion.
20 billion, okay. I do this all the time because the point of it is most people use oils every day and they don't know how many damaged molecules they're taking in because nobody's ever said anything about it and they've never done the math and they don't know how to do the math. So in that one tablespoon of oil that is 1% damaged, you said 20 billion, right? Now 20 billion has 10 zeros, right? 10 zeros? Well, your estimate is 9 zeros too short.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's like your mouth dropping open. That's like 60 quintillion damaged molecules. If it's 1% damaged, 60 quintillion. That's more than a million damaged molecules for every one of your body's 60 trillion cells. More than a million for every cell. 60 quintillion molecules.
For those people who that's not landing for them, why does this matter? What does this mean?
Well, what should land is that because of the guesses, because the guesses I get, they're always more than a billion times too low. You're doing something to yourself that is more than a billion times worse for you than you think it is. A billion times. So I say, okay, well, you're at the airport, you're going to fly home for the holidays, you got your boarding pass, and you're standing just waiting to board, and Mr. Truth taps you on the shoulder. He's the guy who can't tell a lie, right? And he says, by the way, did you know that your chance of crashing and dying on the flight home is a billion times higher than you thought it was? Would you get on the airplane? Maybe not. You know, I asked them in Ireland when I was there one time, and I said, you know, I would canoe back to Canada. I would not get on the airplane. And my chances canoeing home wouldn't be that good, but but it would be preferable. So the point is that when it comes to oils, we're doing something to ourselves. We have no idea how much worse that is for us than we think it might be. And then we have pesticides in the oils. We put the oils in plastic, and plastic leaches into oils quicker than into water. And if you fry them, you got to multiply that number by another 5 to 10 times, because you're doing more damage to the oil that's already damaged, right? And then we don't take 1 tablespoon, most people maybe 2 to 4 tablespoons. So you got to multiply that in. And then you do it for 30 years. So you got to multiply the total number of bad molecules you put in your body by another 11,000, which is ballpark the number of days in 30 years. And then you should be shocked if you're not sick.
The Inspire Health Podcast will be right back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
But what happens is that people get cancer. And then I had a friend who said, you know, she had a lot of zits, right? A lot of pimples, right? She said, I don't know why I get those. I eat really well. And then I found out that every afternoon she baked chocolate cookies for herself. And that was part of eating well for her, right? Because we don't know. So we're doing this because we don't know, because nobody's ever told us. The industry won't tell us. And the people who are bought by the industry won't tell us. And in our education, it's not mentioned because they get grants from the oil industry. And when I was going around doing my lectures, I actually got, I had an interview with a TV station in one of the larger cities in Canada. 6 minutes, and I was excited. Oh yeah, TV star, you know. And I had the week, the evening off. So I thought, oh great, I'll watch myself on television and see what I look like, because I don't know if I have tics and do weird things, you know, or, you know, so I might learn something. So I watched the news. They said they were playing it that night. It wasn't on the news. But they had an ad for Wesson Oil on the news. So I know what happened. They bumped me because I was criticizing the damage done to these oils. And they were getting advertising money from the industry, right? And that's why these stories don't get out.
This is definitely a mark of our times, isn't it? And this is why I feel like more and more people are going to come to the realization that, you know, the government might not have their best interest at heart. The media.
Gee, really?
Yeah.
Isn't the governments that start all the wars?
Yeah.
It's
a hard one for people to swallow, but I feel like since 2020, especially, it's really come on in a very strong way that you have to realize something's wrong sooner or later.
It's become very noticeable over the past couple of decades. But yeah, you have to ask a reasonable question. When's the last time Buddha was the president of a country? Or when was the last time that Jesus was prime minister of a nation? You know, they only had one law, these masters. Love was the law. They didn't make 100,000 laws. They said love is the law. When you feel loved in your life, and then you bring that to expression, you don't need any other laws, because you don't go and hurt people out of love. I mean, some people do that in their head, but that's bullshit. Right? Anyway, and then the thing is, if you don't keep the one law of love, then you're going to break every other law at your convenience, whatever other laws you make to substitute for it. And the amount of time and money we spend making laws, enforcing laws, punishing, building places to stick people in, prisons and stuff. You know, what if we took that energy and just grew vegetables? there would be no hunger in the world. Anyway.
Sounds like, Udo, you've been hanging out with us at our dinner table.
He's had a conversation.
I mean, you said some really important that even at the beginning, you talked about, you know, we have no idea and we don't know. And I feel like this is part of these times on so many levels around this, is that I think we are starting to become more aware of what maybe we had no idea about. We're starting to actually be a little bit more aware of what we didn't know. And my hope is that as we become more aware, that then we actually allow that to influence our choices.
Yeah.
And if we can allow that to influence our choices, then we're going to start to create something different.
Yeah, I would say we have to do the homework. What was the homework? You know, this is like, okay, we're off the fats for a second, right? But what's the homework? Well, the advice was kingdom of heaven is within you. So the first thing is, well, what's in the kingdom of heaven? Well, all the good stuff and none of the bad stuff, right? Cherished place. Kingdom of heaven's within you. Oh, really? Wow. And then the second thing was, seek first the kingdom within you, and then everything else will fall into place. Oh, so then there's only one question. How? How do I get my awareness into the space my body occupies, where that kingdom of heaven is, where all the good stuff is? That then comes out to expression automatically because I'm in a good space, right? So, anyway, so
But just to make for people that are listening, what we're going to actually do is we're going to dive into that in a follow-up after two. So we're going to kind of break that part down a little bit more, because that's incredibly important. And I'll pass it back, Udo, as we continue on with the fat part.
And pesticide poisoning, you can also touch on your experience with pesticide poisoning, how you knew that it was due to pesticides and how that came about.
I took a job as a pesticide sprayer when my marriage broke up, and I wanted to kill something, and pesticides are only made for killing things. Right? I was really upset. I was really stupid, and I was really careless, and I walked over lawns I had sprayed with weed killers, and then the skin peeled off the bottom of my feet. I said, so maybe I shouldn't be walking barefoot on this stuff. So I was in rubber boots, in a bathing suit, because it's a summer job and I like to get a tan. And the wind would drift the spray on my back. And somebody said to me, aren't you worried you're going to get poisoned? I said, nah, I'm immune. I think some people call that testosterone poisoning. It happens to a lot of young men until they have their first serious life-threatening, self-made craziness. Right? And then I got poisoned, and what happened was we were spraying soil sterilants around oil. What do you call them? Those oil things.
Barrels.
Drums.
Well, no, not drums. There's huge ones, the ones that Ukraine is bombing. Yeah, but the tanks.
Oh, gotcha.
Oil tanks, right? Huge tanks. Well, they have to spray soil sterilants because they have walls around them in case the thing breaks. The oil is confined within a hole that they put that tank in, right? But then you get weeds growing. And so I was there killing all those weeds. And then we went for lunch, and the people at Ioco, which is the place that I was spraying, where those tanks were, they wouldn't let us clean up in their kitchen for their employees. I guess because we had pesticides on our hands. So I started eating my lunch and I licked some pesticides off my finger. That's what happened. And then I just very quickly, I was total, lost my energy, nausea, dizziness, cramps. If I turned my head, it felt like my head turned, but my brain didn't. Of course, that doesn't happen like that, but that's what it felt like. And then the biggest thing was I was 38. If I walked around a city block, I had to rest like an 80-year-old. I have more energy now. I'm 84. I have more energy now than I did after I got poisoned. And that's got me. And then the doctor said, we don't have anything for pesticide poisoning, so we get to spray them everywhere. But we don't have any fix for, and we know they're poisons, right? Because they're made to kill things, right? And the biochemistry of all living things is has quite a lot of similarity. So if it's bad for flies, it's probably not good for you either, right? And so, so she said nothing. We don't have anything. So at that point, the penny dropped. Oh my God, my health is my responsibility, and I knew it. But I didn't really know it. And then I got in, and then that's what got me into, I had biochemistry and genetics background. So I had good background for doing the research. And so I went into Medline and looked for all the studies on health and nutrition, disease and nutrition, because that was my self-help. And then out of that came this story on fats. And I realized when I found out about the damage, I said, I can't get healthy on oils like this. We should make them with health in mind. And what do you do? How do you make oils with health in mind? Well, you don't let light, oxygen, and heat destroy them while you're making the oil. You know, from the time the oil's in the seed or the nut till the time it's in a brown glass bottle with a box around it to cut out the light, nitrogen flushed, in the refrigerator in the factory. So we had to make a very, very, very tight system to prevent the damage. And so bringing that now back to everybody saying fats are bad, don't use omega-6s, don't use seed oils. And there are a lot of really high profile people who are saying that. They are all completely wrong. They're blaming omega-6s and seed oils for what should be blamed on the damage done to them by processing and in the frying pan. So I said, okay, well, let's make oils with health in mind. And that started in 1980. I got poisoned. 1981, 82, I started designing a method for making oils with health in mind after my phone call with the scientist from the American Oil Chemist Society. And then we came out with flaxseed oil in 1986 because omega-3 is the single most widespread essential nutrient insufficiency of our time. They're five times more sensitive to damage than the omega-6s. Nobody wants to work with them because they're a nightmare to work with. And 99% of the population does not get enough omega-3 for optimum health. And I thought, geez, if we could make flaxseed oil, which is the richest available source of omega-3s, if we could make that with health in mind, not damage the oil, oh my God, we could help almost everybody. And there's just something that feels really good in your chest, you know, when you do good things, just like it feels really bad in your chest when you do bad things. Well, I got so excited, and that whole project was not run on money. We had no money. We were in a van without air conditioning on our first tour in 1988 through the United States in the hottest months. I slept on the floor in the van between the steering wheel and the back. The driver had made himself a bunk across the back. We had our clothes on a broomstick inside the double doors on the van, and we had we literally had that was our hot, we called it the Omega Hilton. And omega was the oils, right? Omega-3, omega-6. So called it the Omega Hilton. Every 3 days, we would walk into a Marriott hotel because they had a very good reputation for being clean and well-managed. And the guy who was my driver, he was a lot more worldly wise than I was. He said, we're just going to go and clean up. When we got real hot and sweaty and sticky, we'd walk into a Marriott hotel like we owned it, he said. And the way you do that is you're very focused, you're looking straight ahead, your arms are swinging by your sides like you're in the army, and you're just walking, and nobody will talk to you, nobody will stop you, because you're so we would go to the where the showers were, and if there were the pool, we'd go for a swim in the pool, then we'd wash our clothes in the shower and wring them out, and then we'd pile back into the Omega Hilton and go on our way. And we did that for 101 days. We went to 85 cities, 35 states, 17,000 miles by road, and talked to anybody who would listen to us. And because we were enthusiastic, I was enthusiastic about being able to help so many people. It became a buzz. And within 2 years, flaxseed oil was the second highest selling oil in the health food trade where we were active, because there was openness to new things at that point. So that was so the whole thing got driven by, oh my God, we could help so many people.
Udo, can I ask a couple questions?
Yeah.
Because as you're sharing your story, I can hear different conversations going and people asking questions around stuff that I want to make sure that we address. So I know with like flaxseed oil, you'll get a lot of people that'll kind of say, okay, but it doesn't convert over for a lot of people. They can't convert it to EPA or DHA.
Not true. So
that's one question I want to.
Okay.
We'll do that one first.
It's not true. Now, how did that start? The week we came out with flaxseed oil in 1987, that's when we went public with it.
The Inspire Health Podcast will be right back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Good. What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
That week, one of the fish oil companies came up with a new slogan, the body can't convert. Because we were competition, they thought of us as competition for them. I was actually in competition with the oil industry, the seed oil industry. I never, because seed oil is major food and fish oil is a supplement. I was not in the supplement industry. I was in the food industry. But they saw us as competition, and instead of saying 30% of the population can't convert enough, which is what they used to say, which meant 70% don't need fish oil, 30% can't, they said body can't convert plant omega-3 into fish omega-3, so therefore you should take fish oil. Now here's what's wrong with that. When you take the essential fatty acids, linoleic, the omega-6, or alpha-linolenic, the omega-3, they go into your cells and they into your membranes and they go into your cells. And when they need to be converted into, there's a whole bunch of different derivatives that are made from these two. They use the same enzyme system to get converted. And there's no problem converting omega-6. Well, then there should be no problem converting omega-3. They're using the same system. And the system actually prefers to work with omega-3s. And so then you have to ask, well, why is it, if it's not converting, why is it not converting? Yeah, because we have doubled, quadrupled, maybe 10 times, maybe even 20 times our intake of omega-6. And we have lowered our omega-3 intake down to 1/6 of what people got in 1850. There's all research on that, right? So you get too much of one, it'll crowd out the other. You get too much of the other, it'll crowd out the one. And then it turns out that flaxseed oil can make you omega-6 deficient because it's the only oil that has too much omega-3 for the amount of omega-6 it has. And if that's your only source of oil, you will become omega-6 deficient. How do I know that? I did the experiment on myself. I got dry eyes, skipped heartbeats, arthritis-like pain in finger joints, thin, papery skin. And at that point, I said, we need to make a blend. We need to get the ratio right. So they have to be organic without pesticides. They have to be in glass because plastic leaches into oils. They have to have both essential fatty acids. They have to be in the right ratio. They need to be undamaged. And you need to get the optimum amount for your body's requirement. And we measured optimum by how skin feels, because when you get enough and the ratio is right, they form a barrier in the skin together, omega-3 and omega-6, form a barrier in the skin against the loss of moisture, and you end up with soft, smooth, velvety skin, and you don't need gunk on your skin. So the idea that the body can't convert is completely wrong. It's an advertising position that they just took because they thought of us as competition. It was never true. What was true is the ratio is off. Okay, well then fix the ratio. Don't say it can't convert. It can convert, get the ratio right. Okay.
Do you find, Udo, that because the vast majority of people are usually quite high in omega-6 in comparison to omega-3, do you find taking an oil blend itself will gradually balance that? Or at that point, do they need to have a flax oil in there as well to try to get the ratios back into a better zone?
Okay, so fundamentally, the ability to convert, and by the way, horses and cows that only eat grass, they're able to convert the omega-3s in grass into the DHA in the brain. Hello? Right? Okay, so only people who are competition to the fish oil industry can't convert plant omega-3s into fish omega-3s. So that's where that comes from. And when you, because I was at the front end of all of this, I got to see all the politics and who the players were, right? So there was a professor at a university in Oregon who said that if you ate enough B vitamins, you didn't need any essential fatty acids. And when he said that, there were already 6,000 studies that talked about the essentiality of the essential fatty acids. But there are people who follow this guy. He died a couple of years ago, but there are people who still follow this guy. And some of those people, and there are some very high profile people who have bought the Kool-Aid, who've drank the Kool-Aid of the oil dissers. And they say no omega-6s, no seed oils. And they fundamentally, you have to say, they have not done their homework. They're blaming, they're putting the blame in the wrong place. They're telling people not to use omega-6s, which are essential for every cell in your body and turn into hormone-like regulating substances in every cell in your body. And if you don't have any omega-6s in your body is history.
This comes to the end of our time for this episode. Please go to inspirehealthpodcast.com and listen to the remainder of this important episode. Thank you so much.